Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, July 16, 2010. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Weather. Grain futures rallied higher this past week. Are the January highs now in sight? We'll discuss that and more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. This is Dave Dickey. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Bill Biederman of Allendale Incorporated in McHenry, Illinois. Our panelists today are Paul Cooley of ADM Grain Group in Oakland, Illinois, Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana, and Jenny Springer of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Let's open today's discussion with this question. For part of this past week, wheat was definitely the leader to the upside with lower-than-expected production numbers out of the European Union and media chatter regarding increasingly poor growing conditions in Russia. Open interest is building in wheat futures, and technically the September chart reads the possibility of 630. Mike Zuzalo, is 630 fundamentally in play? And if so, what additional market factors might it take, if any, to get there?
Dave, I think my take would be that you need to feed the bull in the wheat right now. The Ukrainian crop is looking tough. The Russian crop's looking tough. But we've had private estimates come out this past week. And Sovcon came out with the Russian estimates, and they did lower the total grain, but they actually kept their wheat unchanged. And as far as the Ukrainian crop, AgroConsult came out, and they lowered their previous estimate only about a half million tons. So I think we've built a lot of premium into the wheat at this point.
Let me follow up with you, Mike. Then how close might we be to knowing with greater certainty the total global production for wheat? And once we know that, will it cap the current rally?
Oh, I think we're months away on that. I think we got to get all the way to our northern hemisphere new crop planning come, you know, August, September time period before we're going to know that one.
Weather has become a major issue in the U.S. as well. And we are now hearing some rumblings from producers that production for new crop corn and beans is no better than last year's USDA final numbers. That would be 165.2 bushels to the acre for corn and 44 bushels to the acre for beans, although many people I've been talking to have been talking about sub 40 bushels to the acre. Paul Cooley, take us through the fundamental side of the equation, including your ideas for corn and soybean yields, and what does that imply for futures?
Well, it is a weather market, and of course you listen to your private meteorologist with a great deal of interest. The marketplace is focusing on 2/10 to 8/10 of an inch through the Midwest over by Monday, and then turn warmer. And then the question mark is later on. There might be a front coming through, but nobody knows. The wet forecaster is Drew Lerner, and the dry forecaster is Freeness Notice as far as public weather people are concerned. My hunch is that it's probably somewhere in between. I think the crop ratings are going to be lower on Monday evening, and I think that's going to be a factor both in the corn and soybean play.
So does that mean when we come back Sunday night to Monday, we should look for a fairly significant volatile upside boost?
Well, a couple things vary with that one, too, of course, is that we have to see the potential rainfall event that's coming in, and then at the same time what the extended models are indicating. The market really held excellent with the beat up they took in the other financial commodities like the financial, the stock market, the crude oil was lower. But on the financial side, I thought there was some extremely positive ideas capping the oil well. Goldman Sachs settled, and of course they did pass the banking bill.
Jenny Springer, this past week, export sales showed that 373 million metric tons of corn still need to be shipped, and we've had reports that the Gulf has increased penalties for number three corn. So the question is this: is there enough high-quality corn in the countryside to handle export bookings? And if not, and corn producers are looking at the futures, what will it take to get them to sell?
I think looking at this, you need to look at it. First, there is a lot of damaged corn still out in the farmer's hand and in elevators, commercials' hands. Trying to get new crop or bushels in that are of decent quality, it is going to take quite a bit either in the futures or in the basis to get the farmers to bring that in. And the other thing to look at, I guess, is we are looking at an early harvest this year. There is corn that will potentially be ready the end of August. So the question then becomes, will buyers wait for that to come in, you know, and try to hold off the exports until they can start blending new crop in with this old damaged crop that we have?
September wheat had a high on the week of 598 and a half, a low of 530 and three quarters. September wheat ended the week at 587 and a quarter, up 49 and a quarter. July wheat ended at 654, up 39. September corn, the high there, 397 and three quarters, the low 374. September corn ending the week at 394 and three quarters, up 11 and a quarter. And then the December corn at 407 and a quarter was up 12 from a week ago. August soybeans had a high on the week of 1027, a low of 896 and a quarter. August beans ending the week at 1019 and a half, up 26 and a quarter. November 985, up 31 and three quarters from last week. September oats had a high on the week at 267 and a half, and they were up 2.5 from a week ago. Lead month soybean futures have moved above the April highs of 998. Corn futures for December are now above $4. And as you might imagine, the number one question I've been getting this week is how high and how fast. So let's handicap that for all of you between now and the August crop production report. Where do corn and soybeans go and why? Paul.
Well, I think that definitely there has been some major changes in basically the stocks report and also in the actual supply-demand report, which indicates a positive nature in the fundamentals in the market. Also, in the wheat market, we do know that Europe is too wet, and we also know that Russia is too dry. Russia's been a wonderful undercutter of our prices in the world, and they've been doing it at bargain basement prices and beating up on our feed grains. We are going to have to bid up for acres of new crop corn. So we all add this up. We do see a potential even next year under normal conditions without a weather market of $4 corn sometime between, you know, January and May, just from a fundamental point of view. Put that in there, if we do take the Obama administration at their word that we're going to see higher blends in ethanol, that's also a positive influence. So to make a long story short, are we going to see $5 corn based on the projections? No. Are we going to see $12 beans? I don't think so at this time. But we are going to see an interesting market, and I think the market still has a lot to prove on weather and supply.
Mike?
I think the 435 level and 1035 level for the new crop corn and beans has always been a target that I've wanted to get to, Dave, to make some additional hedges and maybe even wrap up 2010 hedges. I'm not sure yet. I think this weekend is especially important. I spoke with on the phone on the way over with a producer south of Marshall, Illinois, and he's talking about the bad spots getting worse. I've talked to clients near Decatur. I've talked to subscribers near Bloomington. I've heard a lot this past week of the bad spots getting worse. The producer south of Marshall in particular said that he felt like that his he was losing his tips if he didn't get a rain this weekend. And that's 10 to 15% of your potential yield. So I think the bottom line for me is I want to put an overvalue level on it, but I don't want to rein this thing in too much because we need the central and eastern Corn Belt to offset a dome of doom in the western Corn Belt and if China's going to keep buying. So we need all the corn and beans we can get if that stereotypical pattern that we've seen here the last month and a half continues.
Jenny.
I think that, you know, to get sales in somewhere around that 425 to 435, 440 range is going to buy corn for guys. Right now, guys that are sitting around the 50 to 60% sold level are waiting for those, next pricing targets to hit before they sell anymore. I think that they are, you know, solely focused on this weather and the fact that we are, by next week, we'll be 100% pollinated in this area and, you know, focusing on ear fill and not getting the rains, that are direly needed right now.
Let's go around the panel one more time. What should a producer do in their marketings with the information we've talked about so far? Assume our mythical marketer does not have a lot of new crop sales on the books. Mike.
I think 2010, sell and defend. I hate to be that simplistic, but I think it's the best way to be and non-emotional, Dave. The re-ownership strategies that I would be recommending, I'd be managing them very heavily between now and September 15th. If this market moves higher in the short term, I think most of the push and the bullishness would be in by the time we get to the September report.
Jenny?
I think for a guy that's got not a lot of new crop corn sold, it's good to get to that 50% sold level. We are halfway through the summer through pollination. If we do get the rains that we need, the crop's going to be made.
Paul?
I definitely think the $10 mark on people that still have, sell new crop beans at $10, we've already done it. As far as the new crop corn, I'd sell some cash corn at $4, maybe up to 25%.
What about re-ownership ideas now for corn and beans, Mike?
Beans, I like the dollar November bean verticals. We talked Friday afternoon about maybe spacing out just, bought calls in the September, the November, and the January, and then, spread those out so that as you go higher on your re-ownership, you can just lift out of those. But again, on the later deferred strategies, I just don't like putting re-ownership options on and letting them sit there and erode. You have to have those things work in your favor. For the corn, you could probably do just some outright calls in the September, and then the December ones maybe do a 50-cent or 70-cent vertical and give yourself upside. I think that if you're talking about a bean carryover going from 360 million bushels to 200 or 195 or 175, whatever the conventional wisdom is in Chicago, you're talking about a substantial upside potential if that kind of thing happens this year, Dave.
Paul, your re-ownership ideas?
I wouldn't re-own it right now.
In addition to weather, what factors should we be keeping a close eye on next week, Jenny?
I think in addition to weather, watching the financial markets and seeing if they can recover just a little bit from where they were today. I think the other thing is looking towards the stocks report that will come out in August.
Well, if we're going to look at the financial markets, I guess we need to look at the U.S. dollar, Paul. It looks to me, if you look at what's happened price-wise in June on the futures chart, we might have been putting a top in place. Are you seeing it that way?
Well, it's an interesting game. And, of course, in my opinion, the longer it takes to bring the U.S. economy back, the odds are greater, in my opinion, that we will see some price erosion in the dollar and the value of the dollar. The bottom line here is that the dollar probably still makes the most sense of any currency in the world right now. And, I think that's one reason why I don't really anticipate a major drop in values at this time.
Mike, what is the S&P 500 telling you about the potential price action of commodities?
Well, I was hoping that the S&P 500 and the financial markets would give us the boost that would give confidence to buying of commodities by funds, Dave, especially technically oriented quant funds that look at charts and long-term trends so much, because they've been kind of on the sidelines this year. And this last week in the S&P looks very, very vulnerable to a top, and especially in the daily chart. So we need to get back up above 1,100 in the lead month to be able to offset the negativity of this week.
August live cattle had a high on the week of 92.90, a low of 89.80. August live cattle finishing the week at 92.27.5, up 207.5 from last week. August feeders finishing the week at 113.10, down 10 from a week ago. August lean hogs had a high on the week of 82.10, a low of 79.05. August lean hogs finishing the week at 81.70, up 167.5 from a week ago. In 2 minutes, we'll hear from Bill Biederman, Senior Market Analyst for Allendale Incorporated.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Hot, humid weather continued over Illinois this week, with little prospects of breaking the heat other than some occasional thunderstorms. Temperatures were well above normal this week, with highs in the mid-80s to low 90s, depending on where the clouds and the showers were located. The most oppressive day of the week was Thursday, when hot and humid air pooled south of an advancing weak cold front. High temperatures soared into the low 90s by noon on Thursday, and dew points in this area in the southeastern half of Illinois reached the upper 70s and even the low 80s in a few locations. That led to the development of showers and thunderstorms ahead of the front. Rainfall this week was spotty and below normal for the week in most locations, and well below normal as of mid-month statewide. The only area with near-normal rainfall at this point is along the Mississippi River. The outlook for next week looks much the same. A ridge of high pressure aloft centered over the southeastern United States will keep Illinois in the warmer than normal humid conditions through the week. The only likely relief will be from any showers and thunderstorms that may pop up in the moisture-laden air. It appears the best chances for rain will be in the first half of the week, as some weak disturbances help trigger the storms. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Listening to Commodity Week. This is Dave Dickey. Our panelists today are Jenny Springer, Mike Zuzulo, and Paul Cooley. Joining us today by phone is Bill Biederman, Senior Market Analyst for Allendale Incorporated and a longtime friend of the show. Thanks for joining us today, Bill.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Bill, I read that you are entering a new phase in your life. You will still be involved with Allendale, but you're going to have new interests, yes?
That's right. I'm stepping away from all management duties, and I'm going to focus on brokerage duties so that I have more time to work towards stepping into some ministry duties.
What specifically are you going to be doing?
Well, right now we're we'll do whatever we need to do or what we're asked, but we're focused on build-out projects, and Harvest Bible Chapel has a 650-acre youth camp we're working on right now, so we're pretty excited about that, and it's a lot of fun, and the kids are just great to be around.
That's up in Michigan?
Yes.
Well, let's get back into the markets and have some questions. First question is from Paul Cooley.
Bill, we're hearing a lot about this damaged corn in central Illinois. How about, what's it look like up on the river area?
Well, you know, as you know, Paul, there's several facilities that are no bid right now for July, so it's certainly becoming an issue. And we're just trying to clean up whatever inventories we can and blend out what's left, and then, you know, just let the farmer hold on to what's you know, until the new crop comes in. So hopefully we'll have some good quality grain that comes in, but, Paul, I don't think it's going to clean up that quickly, and I'm just afraid that a lot of corn farmers are going to see the same kind of basis collapse that we saw out in the wheat belt.
Mike?
On that, following that up, Bill, is the quote-unquote real rally, is that coming when the producer gets his and her cash sales made and all the supplies are out of the farmer's hands? That's stereotypically how it works. It seems like we're kind of fast-forwarding this year with just throwing it all in at once. How do you view this market right now in that level?
Well, actually, I don't know if the farmers are going to get rid of all their inventory this year. I mean, and if they do, then it's going to sit at the elevator. So there's going to be carryover, and we know that. The government's got carryover in their supply-demand tables, and we're going to get hit with a crop. Now, you know, the key to this market and the key to when the rally is real or not real is if, you know, where are yields? Are yields below 160? Because if they are, we got to go higher. If they're above 164, we're too high now. You know, I mean, as an end user looking at it.
Jenny?
With the rally that we've seen in the wheat market, the July 11 futures are right around 647. With that and being advantageous for guys to plant wheat, are we going to have to buy corn acres this fall? And if so, at what levels?
Well, we're definitely going to have to buy corn acres this coming fall. You know, it's obviously going to depend on what goes on with the ethanol debate and everything. I guess that's just totally on hold right now as they try to figure out how to pay for all of our spending. But, you know, demand's increasing at a fairly good clip here. You know, we're looking at a 1% to 2% increase in demand, hopefully, and we're going to need more corn acres. And obviously, with the big drop we had in wheat acres, the wheat market's going to need some of those back. I mean, we're going from a huge carryover, 189 carryover in wheat, and we're adjusting that down with these recent losses in the FSU and the EU-27. We're down to probably 165 carryover. You know, that sounds like a huge decline. That's why the market's reacting. But in reality, that's just getting us to a normal carryover in wheat in the world. And in the U.S., we still have a 50% stocks-to-use ratio. So there's still plenty of wheat. This wheat market is getting to a level where it's going to buy enough acres where it's going to stop going up. And then we'll have to deal with the corn situation.
Do you have any dry acres around Crystal Lake, or are you in pretty good shape?
No, we're really in good shape. You know, Paul, we drove from Interstate 80 all the way up to North Dakota last weekend and back, and, I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful north of 80.
Bill, I know you deal with livestock, a lot of livestock clients, and do a lot of livestock research. Let's go through the hypothetical sub-160 corn yield. Does that mean livestock liquidation coming for hogs because they're just now getting back on their feet as far as the break-evens?
I don't really think so, because if you look at the total tonnage of meat production, all meats, per capita, which is a really strange way of looking at supply, but if you look at that, we're at like a very low, if not record low. So I think that there's going to be, as long as the economy is stable, you're going to see a demand-driven market in livestock. So I think they're going to be able to absorb higher feed costs. You know, I mean, it's going to be relatively inelastic, I think, for a little while.
With this damaged crop that we're seeing in the corn, we've seen in the last stocks report that the feed and residual has gone up for corn. Do you think that livestock producers are putting more of that damaged crop through because of the lower quality?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and that goes back to the test weight debate and all that stuff. And the fact is that, you know, you just got to feed that pen of cattle 2 weeks longer than normal. I mean, you know, you're just not getting the feed efficiency out of those same numbers of bushels. So, you know, we grow a yield based on weight. We feed it based on efficiency, and it takes more volume when you've got low test weights. So that's what's happening. That's why we've raised up those demand numbers. Now, you know, how do you raise demand when total numbers of livestock and grain-consuming animal units is down 2%? Well, it's because of quality. Now, that's going to throw us off for next year because some people are saying, well, we're going to increase our demand 2.5%, but wait a minute, you know, demand was kind of overstated because of this quality factor. So if we have a good quality crop next year, we won't need to consume as many bushels domestically.
You know, on our pre-show talk, we basically indicated that the farmer has sold some $10 new crop plus beans. You know, he's been rather reluctant to sell any cheaper than that. How about the new crop corn? Did they sell much new crop corn yet, or is they're still waiting for better prices?
Well, we did hear, and I'm sure you did too, that there was fairly good movement this week when we bumped into that $3.95, $4 area. There was pretty heavy movement, and I think there was some hedging done. And then once we ate through that, you know, I mean, the funds bought, you know, what was it, 78 or 80,000 contracts of corn this week. So once we pushed through that, I mean, I don't think the hedge selling pressure was there, and that's what allowed us to go up. Where's the next level that farmers are going to sell? I mean, like you were mentioning, the 420 area and things like that, I can't disagree with that.
Bill, looking at the next hedge level to go to, would you predicate it on Sunday night? Is this the crucial weekend for the Corn Belt, or do we have a few more of these?
Well, you know, bottom line is, and I think Jenny said this, reality is that based on the forecast we have tonight, going out 18 days, we're going to be done pollinating. There's enough subsoil to get us through the fill, but we all know that you still need some moisture to get through fill. But for the most part, this corn crop is pretty well made. You know, the next question is going to be the beans, and the emotion that's involved with the bean market is going to drive corn. So to answer your question, the weather is going to drive the market dramatically in the next 2 weeks. Beyond that, you can see enough time out into early August to say, or late August, to say, okay, the bean crop's either made or lost. So I think you got 2 weeks left in this emotional ride.
If you've got a guy that's somewhere, you know, the 70 to 80% price on corn, he got really aggressive back, you know, when the price levels were in the 425 to 450 range. If we run up past that, what do you suggest for a guy, you know, to protect himself on the run-up?
If you really feel like you have to do that, then I would stick with front month options. And I think Mike was talking about doing that or doing some vertical call spreads. I think those are good ideas. Quite honestly, if I'm looking at it from my own P&L standpoint, for my clients, I'd be saying 425, 440 sales are good things to have on the books. I don't think you can lose money doing that.
When it's all said and done, what's your opinion of the U.S. economy? Are we going to basically have another dip, leg down here as far as the economies are concerned, or do you think it's pretty stable as we go into the early winter months?
Well, I think that's a great idea, and I think that's why if you spend too much money trying to cover the upside and defend your sales here, you might be disappointing yourself. U.S. retail sales were down 0.5% in June. You know, you got to have increasing sales to have inflation. You got to have inflation to get a recovery. Average hourly earnings were down 0.1%. We're down to a 14-year low on mortgage applications. Manufacturing output dropped 0.4%. Well, just in 2 seconds, I kind of depressed you. Yeah, we're worried a little bit about the fourth quarter. And if this economy slows down and we see some of these investors pull out of the market, hey, let's ask the panel this. Who's inflating our commodity market right now? Is it the farmer holding? Is it the end user chasing, or is it speculators? And the answer is obvious. It's speculators. If you give them a reason to leave, you're going to be in trouble. So, is it a good idea to sell $4 corn? I think it's a profitable idea.
Bill, you've answered them all. Thanks much.
Well, thanks for having me. Look forward to it again.
That's Bill Biederman of Allendale Incorporated in McHenry, Illinois. And that is today's Commodity Week. We would like to thank our panel, Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana, Jenny Springer of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. This is Dave Dickey.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.